there's morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
His spirit is with us.
As we rejoice, as we rejoice.
Welcome to our Ely team service on today, the 7th of March, 2021. My name is Stephen Dove, and it's my delight to welcome you and to guide us through our time together. Whoever you are, wherever you are right now, you are very welcome. Thanks for being here with us. Shall we begin this time together by praying? And I invite you to join in the words in bold, and to know that whether you are with other people in your house, other people who are also engaging with this service and are joining us together in worship will be praying those words. So do join in the words in bold. Let's pray. Lift up your voice and call out to God. We cry out, believing that God hears us. Come together and wait for God. We come together, trusting that God is still speaking. Surely God's presence is here with us now. We wait in hope, for God's steadfast love lifts our hearts. Come, worship the Lord. We celebrate the power of God that restores us. Amen. Amen. And we remember the goodness of God as we come to our first song this morning, which is How Great Thou Art. So join in, sing loudly, or let the words and the music wash over you as we praise God through music together.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, with joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great you are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
And we're using this
then sings
and
my soul,
finding
my Savior God, to thee.
And in a moment, Jeremy
how
G will be helping us explore the next of in the series, which is
are.
Jesus, the Man of Compassion.
Then sings my soul,
but first, we've got our two readings, and they will be read
thee.
By Sally and Sophie.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
Today's reading is taken from Matthew 14, verses 12 to 14. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. This is the word of the Lord.
Over the years, I've known a number of people who've been involved in one way or another with the charity Compassion UK. It's a leading Christian children's charity, and their strapline is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. In various parts of the world, they work with local church partners to make sure that their support reaches the children who need it most, and that those children receive care in every area of their lives, their minds, their bodies, their relationships. And Compassion UK describe themselves like this: at the heart is a relentless passion to act on our compassion and empower every child left vulnerable by poverty. At our heart is a relentless passion to act on our compassion. Compassion's a word that says something both about our feelings, our passions, and also about our actions. And compassion's a very significant word in the Bible, both in the way the Old Testament describes God and in the way the New Testament describes Jesus. And today I want us to think about compassion in Jesus' teaching, compassion in Jesus' ministry, and compassion in Jesus' attitude, his heart, towards us. So first of all, compassion in Jesus' teaching. Now, this is most clear for us to see, perhaps, in the parable of the Good Samaritan. That man who walked down the lonely desert road from Jerusalem to Jericho was mugged. Some men jumped on him, beat him up, stole everything he'd got, and left him lying battered and bruised. A priest on his way to Jerusalem saw him lying in the road and decided to steer well clear. The same happened when a Levite passed by on his way to Jerusalem. And then a third man came down the road, but he was a Samaritan. And Jews and Samaritans didn't get on at all, so this was the last person that the injured man would expect to get any help from. But when this Samaritan saw him lying there in the road, said Jesus, he had compassion on him. He had a deep feeling inside him. Oh, you poor man! His heart went out to him. He felt so sorry for him. And that feeling, that compassion, was something that provoked him to do something. So he looked after him. He bandaged him up. He sat him on his donkey. He took him to an inn. He got him settled there, and he paid the bill. After Jesus had told that parable and got his listeners to agree that when it came to loving your neighbour can be anyone who's in need, he then ended by saying, go and do likewise. You go and do the same. He expected that compassion and the action that follows would be a feature of the life of his disciples. That word compassion in the New Testament translates a Greek word which derives from the word for the innards, the guts. In other words, this isn't about a nice, refined sentiment, but about a deep feeling. His heart went out to him is another way it might be translated. He had a gut feeling, a visceral feeling of sorrow for the man. He was deeply moved. So Jesus taught about compassion, but he was absolutely someone who practiced what he preached. So we can see also compassion in Jesus' ministry, compassion in action. There are a number of occasions in the Gospels when that same rather earthy, gutsy word is used to describe Jesus. He had compassion on people. His heart went out to them. He felt a deep pity for them, and he helped them. When, for example, two blind men pleaded with him to help them, he had compassion and healed them so that they could see. When he saw a crowd of people who were hungry, he had compassion on them and fed them. On another occasion, he saw a crowd who were looking quite lost and bewildered. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. In our two readings today, we heard how, when he saw a large crowd who'd come to seek him out, he had compassion on them and healed the sick people they'd brought to him. And we heard how, when he saw a woman who'd already lost her husband and had now lost her son, he had compassion on her. His heart went out to her, and he raised her son back to life. Jesus, it's clear, was a man of compassion. His response to human need was never to pass by on the other side, never to stand aloof from the needy person. His heart was a heart of compassion. He felt deeply for them. And his attitude was the same when he saw people whose problem was that they were sinners. They were distancing themselves from God by what they did. Another of Jesus' parables gives us an idea of his feelings towards sinful people. Remember the parable of the prodigal son. It's about a man whose son turned his back on him. The son said, "I don't want to live at home with you and my brother anymore." And he went off to foreign parts where he was confident that life would be much better. And in the weeks and months that followed, he spent all the money that his father had given him. He wasted it on wild living. And when his money ran out, he was in a complete mess. He'd got nowhere to live, no money to buy food. The only work he could get was looking after pigs, and he was so desperate that he ended up eating the pigs' food. Finally, he came to his senses and he said, "This is stupid. I'll go home, I'll say sorry to my father, and I'll ask to be allowed to work for him." So he had a long, slow walk home. And when he got in sight of home, his father saw him coming. And what did the father say? Did he say, "I don't want to see him"? Did he say, "He can't come home until he's paid back all the money he's wasted"? Did he say, "He's no longer welcome in this house"? "No," said Jesus as he told the story. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. "While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." That's how God is with sinners. And that's how Jesus is toward sinners, filled with compassion. Do you remember the tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus? Everyone else considered them to be quite beyond the pale. But Jesus sought them out and built a relationship with them, and indeed with many other tax collectors. Or remember the woman who anointed Jesus' feet? The onlookers knew that this was a woman with a sinful past, and they were astonished that Jesus would allow her to do this. But Jesus defended her, and he assured her that her sins were forgiven. Or remember the woman who was guilty of adultery? "She should be stoned to death," some of the Pharisees said to Jesus. "Let any one of you who's without sin throw the first stone," said Jesus. And they all drifted away. Or remember the penitent thief crucified beside Jesus. "Today you will be with me in paradise," was Jesus' promise. Not a condemnatory attitude to sinful people, but a heart of compassion that felt so sorry for them and for the mess they got themselves into. And he reached out to them to help them. Jesus chose to spend time with people who other people wouldn't touch with a barge pole. No wonder that Jesus' enemies branded him as a friend of sinners. They meant it as an insult. Look at the appalling company he keeps. But we see it as wonderful good news. Jesus, the friend of sinners. And that leads us on to the third thing for us to think about today, Jesus' attitude towards us. Jesus lived a perfect life. He showed us how to live. So what does he think of us when we ignore everything he taught us and showed us and generally make a mess of things? Does he say, "They messed everything up completely. I don't want anything more to do with them"? Does he say, They've got to put right everything they've done wrong before I'll consider helping them. No. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus' attitude to us is like his attitude was towards those tax collectors and the other sinful people he met. Now, as then, he's like that father in the parable of the prodigal son. He has compassion on us. Deep inside, he feels so sorry for us. He doesn't turn his back on us, but rather he wants to rush towards us and help us. His compassion, that feeling deep inside him, draws him to us. And instead of condemnation, we receive forgiveness. Jesus is the only person who's ever lived a perfect life. He's pure, sinless, perfectly good. So we might expect that when he sees people like us, going wrong and doing it again and again, he wouldn't want anything to do with them. He, in his purity, would be repelled by their awfulness. But no, because his heart's full of compassion, he feels drawn to them. He feels drawn to us, even in the worst of our sinfulness. So, compassion. It's about feelings, passions, and it's about action. And Jesus is the man of compassion. We see compassion in his teaching, as he encourages us not to be heartless when we see our neighbour in need. We see compassion in his ministry, how his deep feelings towards people in need led him to take action to help them. The hungry, the sick, the sorrowing, the lost, and sinners. And we see compassion in his attitude towards us. Jesus, the friend of sinners, is deeply moved when he sees us sin. His heart's filled with pity for us, and he's drawn towards us to help us. Jesus, the man of compassion.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
We continue to remind ourselves about the amazingness of God's grace by coming now to a time of confession. I invite you to join in the words in bold when we get there. Sometimes we wander through this life, not noticing the small and large miracles all around us. Sometimes we tiptoe fearfully through this life, worried that we will miss out. Sometimes we twist and turn carelessly through this life, not knowing that our words and actions may hurt others. Sometimes we walk spitefully through this life, keeping grudges and not forgiving others. Sometimes we stomp noisily through this life, forgetting that you, Heavenly Father, may be waiting to meet us in this silence. We pray together. Heavenly Father, forgive us for treading so carelessly on this journey. Forgive us, but then fit us out with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility and self-control for the next leg of this journey with you. Amen. Amen. We now come to a time when we are going to affirm our faith together. So please join in these words. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the Church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And we now come to our time of intercession, which today will be led by Karen.
Good morning. I thought that maybe in our intercessions this morning it might be helpful to have something to focus on. So I've set up some little trays of items and hopefully this will help us to focus on the subject of each of the intercessions. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would look with compassion on this, your world, as it faces both the problem of climate change and the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray that the behind-the-scenes preparation for the climate summit later this year would lead to positive decisions to address the situation. With regard to COVID, we thank you that through the COVAX Alliance, vaccines donated by our government have started reaching some of the poorer nations of Africa. We pray that all those governments who made a commitment to help will honour their promises, thus bringing an end to worldwide danger. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Here at home, Lord, we pray for those who don't have the means to feed their families or who fear they may lose their homes because of rising debt. Thank you for the work of organisations like Christians Against Poverty and the Food Bank. Even in this time when face-to-face contact is difficult, may they still be able to offer love and practical support to those in need. And may we all find ways to continue helping them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This week, Lord, our children and young people should be returning to school and college. For many, there will be excitement, but for others, there will be apprehension. And that goes for the teachers and parents, as well as the learners. We pray that plans that have been put in place would create the safest possible environment, and that life in the classroom would quickly settle into a positive routine, where pupils and teachers alike can explore and learn more about the wonderful world you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for the advance of spring, for the beauty of the world around us, and the chance to get out and enjoy it. But Lord, we know that this is not possible for everyone. We pray for the residents in care homes, the elderly, the housebound, and the bereaved. We pray for those who are anxious or lonely or in pain. We pray for those we know who are in hospital, remembering especially the Duke of Edinburgh and the families who wait anxiously for news of their loved ones. We lift before you too, Lord, those who work in the caring professions. Please give them strength as they face each day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves as we journey through Lent to Easter, knowing that Easter, like Christmas, will not be the same as usual. Nonetheless, we ask that we might daily draw closer to you, learning more of your love for each one of us, and reflecting your light and love to the world around us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We draw our time of prayer together by praying the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples, which was recorded in Scripture, and now we are able to join in praying. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We come now to our final worship songs of the morning. And we're going to sing Be Thou My Vision, where we ask God to be everything we need as we journey through this life. And then we're going to finish by proclaiming with Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
O God, who made all things new, new stars, new dust, new light, take our hearts, every hardened edge and measured beat, and create something new in us. We need your newness, God, the rough parts of us made through, the stagnant stir, the stump friend, the unkind forgiven. And then, by the power of your Spirit, we need to be turned towards love again. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me this morning, and thank you to everyone who has contributed or played a part in making this service happen. Should you need anything, please do get in touch with our office. You can email them at office@stmarysely.org. And you can also have a look at our bulletin for many number of exciting notices. And you can find that at our website, www.stmarysely.org. And you can also sign up to have that emailed to you, and it will fly into your email inbox every Friday. It's lots of fun, so do sign up if you'd like to receive it. Two quick notices to highlight. One is that we are, of course, in the season of Lent. And as we journey through Lent together, we are hearing people's stories about who Jesus is to them. You can find them on our YouTube channel or on our website at www.stmarysely.org/Lent-stories. So do have a look and hear who Jesus is to people who are part of the St Mary's family. Next Sunday, and I hope you'll be joining us, is Mothering Sunday. And it's a time of the year when on that Sunday we would normally give flowers out, and the church would be full of people holding flowers and running around shoving flowers in people's hands. And we didn't want to let the pandemic stop us from sharing flowers with each other. So next Saturday, the 13th of March, there'll be an opportunity in the afternoon, if you'd like to go and visit St Mary's Church, our church, and to take a bunch of flowers in a socially distanced, we hope COVID-safe way. And there's more information about that in the bulletin. But for now, all it leaves me to say is this final little prayer as we head out into our weeks. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. I've been Stephen. As ever, you have still been fabulous. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.